Well, good evening. First, for those who may not know, I'm Damar Randall from Pacoima, California, and find it a great privilege to be with you all tonight. I thank the Lord for his blessings to me. Thank him for all that he's been doing. My life the last 2 years has changed drastically in a great way, and I thank the Lord for his faithfulness to me. I thank the Lord for saving me. Thank the Lord to be saved and sanctified, and I just thankful for the people of God. I find it a great privilege to be with God's people anytime I get the opportunity. So the Lord's been giving me a thought. I did not, one, anticipate being in Guthrie this weekend. So it was not something I prepared thinking I was going to be here. But the Lord, the last few weeks, have been giving me a thought about freedom. And I am so very thankful for the freedom that we have in serving Christ. It's a freedom that can't be found anywhere else. It's a freedom that the world does not fully understand. And I was thinking, in conjunction with this thought about freedom, about a particular person in Scripture. And anytime I get before the people of God, I tell them I don't endeavor to be here long, so we'll ask the Lord to have his way, and we'll just jump right in to Matthew, the 5th chapter, Mark, the 5th chapter, starting in verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man, could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there were nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all of the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. I was thinking this week about freedom. Here we have a man who opened himself up to the enemy in some way. I don't know this man's backstory. I don't know what he engaged in. But I started thinking about some of the things that we have in today's day and time. You know, there are so many things that we can involve ourselves in that might seem clean and might seem kosher, but the Scripture warns us to shun the very appearance of evil. It also tells us to keep our hearts with all diligence. And you know, there are things that we can do that will open ourselves up to being on his territory, where maybe we know it or not. And so I was thinking about maybe this man, maybe he, I don't know what the music was, but maybe he found himself in a place that he shouldn't have been. Maybe he went out with some friends one night and there were some things going on that maybe just shouldn't have been there. And it gave way for the enemy to come in and start his work. But if we're not careful, if we're not watchful, we can find ourselves in that same place. I was thinking about, we have some things, and I'm going to try to be very careful here. Ask the Lord would give liberty. You know, social media, it's an area that if we're not very careful, we can allow the enemy to work and get ourselves in trouble. We have, we love to be social. We love to keep in contact with people. I live, 1,500 miles away. I don't get to see the saints quite often back here. And there are some good to it. But if we're not careful, the enemy can easily trip us up. You know, we teach some doctrines, and I fully believe in them. Television is another area that we could easily get ourselves involved in, and the enemy just slip in, and next thing you know, we're on his territory. And there's some danger there. But whatever was going on, this man found himself in a place to where he was bound. And so when we look at some of the things that he was going through, it talked about him cutting himself. No man could bind him, and he had been bound with fetters and chains and plucked asunder and couldn't be tamed. And always night and day he was in the mountains crying and cutting himself with stones. I don't believe that this was an action that this man enjoyed. I believe it was painful. I believe that these were actions that if he really, really could within himself to stop, he would have liked to. But he was overtaken by something that was greater than him. You know, there are many indulgences out in the world, many things that people get themselves involved in that they think, well, I can stop this at any time I want. I can drink this alcohol and it's not going to bother me. I can just set it aside any time I choose. I can smoke this. I can do this. These different things that people out there, I can quit when I want to. But then they find that it's a little hard. They don't have the power. It's because there is something else working here. The enemy has been around far longer than I have. I'm only 26 years old. The enemy has been around a lot longer than that. He's been around a lot longer than everybody in this building. And he has some tricks, and he has some things that he can do that will surprise us. But yet many times we try to think that we can challenge the enemy, but we're not strong enough. And so this man found himself in this place where he could not break free of all that was going on. He was constantly being chained, and they were trying to control him, unable to be controlled. Living in the tombs, that's not a glorious, glamorous place. It's a dark place. He's in a place dark in despair. No, there are many people that are in the tombs in their minds in today's day and time. They're in a very dark place, and they're trying to find these things, self-help, you know, go to this therapist, go to read this book, read that book, and trying to get help. Just like this man, they're struggling. All these different things that the world would like to offer. You know, those are, be careful here as well, but some of those are also tricks of the enemy. Because really, there's only one help we have, and that's in Christ. And so we see that this man, he was in a place that was just miserable, just dread, misery, dark, and despair. And he saw Jesus afar off, and he ran to him. And I believe that there was something in him, not the devil, not those spirits that he was possessed with, but I believe that there was something in him that recognized who God was, recognized who the man that was passing by at this time, to where he ran and called out to him, "What have thou to do with me, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" I believe the devils that were in him also recognized that there's something walking by that I have to bow down to. You know, the enemy is not more powerful than God. And so, as Jesus was walking by, the man reached out and they called out to him and "What have you to do with me, Jesus, thou Son of Nazareth?" The devils were, "Don't torment me. It's not my time yet." But Jesus cast them out. And then that man, there's another portion, I don't believe it says it here, but it talks about him sitting and clothed and in his right mind. When Jesus passed by, he was set free. I was thinking about the scripture in John, the 8th chapter, verse 38. It says, "If the Son, therefore, shall make ye free, ye shall be free indeed." You know, it's a wonderful privilege to be free in Christ. It's a wonderful privilege to not be bound by the yoke of bondage that the enemy would like to place on us. It's a privilege to not have to go through life feeling the weight of the darkness and despair that the enemy would like to cast down on us. But this man, it says, was clothed and sitting in his right mind after Jesus passed by. I remember a time when I was struggling and I needed help. And I knelt at an altar of prayer and the Lord met me there and lifted the burdens of whatever I was going through at the time. You know, he wants to do it for all of us. Whether if we're saved, we still have burdens that we'd like to get off our chest. And he's still willing to reach down his hand of mercy and help us. That's a wonderful Savior that we have. The song says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." There's a freedom that is found in Christ, a freedom from bondage, a freedom from, you know, I think about the other song that says, "Some think this great salvation will stop all their good time. We must not do a thing but sing and pray. We do just what we want to, and we go where we please, and that is what we're doing here today." You know, it's because we're free in Christ. We don't have, you know, I enjoy coming to camp meeting, and I could be up, and, you know, we'll go to 3 services a day, and then after the services, we'll go to our separate abodes, and we'll go down to sleep, and I don't have to go to sleep and have a hangover. I don't wake up the next morning with a headache. I can wake up again and remember the services that I was in the night before, and I get to rejoice in what the Lord gave me and the freedom and the help that he gave me, and then I can go to the next service that morning, and I can do it all over again. Before COVID, we would do it for 10 days, 3 services a day. That's freedom. That's real freedom. That's a wonderful privilege that we have in Christ. The enemy would like to take that away. He would like for us to be able to get some of his vices and then wake up the next morning feeling despair and, "Oh, my head," and, "Oh, this," and, "I can't remember what I did. I can't remember anything about last night." That's what the enemy would like. He enjoys that. He enjoys making us feel bad. Anything that is good, he doesn't like. But it's a wonderful privilege. And this man met Jesus along the way, and Jesus loosed him and set him free. He was no longer bound by the chains of the enemy. He was no longer bound by the things that Satan brought his way. He was able to sit there and be in his own mind. He had control of his own members. He wasn't doing the same things that he had been doing. He was free in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That which I used to do, I don't do anymore. That which I used to enjoy, I don't enjoy anymore, because Jesus took that out of me and changed me." It's a wonderful privilege to be changed. It's a wonderful privilege to know a Savior that has that power, that has that ability, that does not choose to feed off of those evil things. You know, there's other religious groups out there that they try, their religious try to make them feel good about those bad things. That's the difference with when you follow Christ. He'll set you apart and let you know, no, you can't take part in that. No, that attitude is not, that's not becoming of a saint. No, you can't look at that. You can't do those things. And he takes that out of us. And he fills us with his Holy Spirit. As we continue to go along and we continue to strive to be in him, we continue to strive and press toward the mark, he fills us with his Holy Spirit that gives us light and clarity and understanding. And no longer are we found in a place where the enemy can come up and try to get us to engage in those things. You know, I don't feel tempted to have a cigarette. I've never had one, but I don't have that temptation. That's not something the enemy can come up and try to get me with. He can't get me with alcohol. He can't get me with those things. I've not indulged in those things, but he will try to get me with a bad attitude. He will try to get me with pride. He will try to get us with some of those things that would be displeasing to the Father. But if we continue to fight, continue to strive, continue to press, continue to see Christ, continue to look at Jesus. You know, there's danger when we choose to take our eyes off of Christ. You know, this man, he wanted to be with Christ where he went. A lot of times these, when they Jesus walked by and healed, they wanted to keep going with him. He said, "Well, go this way and tell no man." Oh, we want to go with you because there's something about him. There's something special and something important that will, that it'll change us. There's no other way to say it, but it will change us. It will be a blessing, and others will know it. Talked about the others will see that there's a difference. They saw that there was a difference in this man. Wasn't this the same man that was sitting in the tombs? He was doing this, he was doing that, and wow, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful privilege it is when we meet Jesus. What a wonderful privilege it is when we're set free from the chains that bind us. They're powerless when we serve the Lord. And this man found that out. What a wonderful change had been made. You know, people in the world, they believe that, I had mentioned how they think that they can control what's going on. They can control this addiction. They can control this. But you know what they really are? When you're following on Satan's territory, you're a prisoner of Satan. And prisoners, for those that don't know, I'm a correctional officer in the state of California. I work in a maximum security prison. I deal with level 4, which is the highest level. And in the prison that I work in, to relate to how Satan will abuse us, inmates like to think that they get to tell us what to do. But you know what? At the end of the day, whatever I tell them to do, they have to do. They don't have a choice. For instance, if I tell you to go to your cell and lock it up, and you choose not to, you will be forced to. Now, whether I do it or whether another officer does it, you're going to have to do what you were told to do. You don't have the freedom to walk out of the building. You don't have the freedom to walk out of the prison. If you happen to get outside of the prison while you're under custody, that means you're probably being escorted by one of us. And when we're there, we're going to tell you what to do. You know, that's the same way Satan is. When you're on his territory, you're not going to be able to walk up to him and tell him, I'm going to go do this. No, you're going to do this. And I'm going to make you feel real bad. You're going to enjoy it for a little bit, and then you're going to feel real bad. I was with some people and some coworkers. We went out to eat, and they like to drink. I wish I would have known this before. We had this is when I was in the academy. And we would go out to eat, and they would drink way more than they should. One is too much. But afterwards, the next mornings, I would see them, and they would be, their heads would be splitting, and they would be struggling to turn off the lights. It's too bright, and there's no lights on. And then the next night, we'd go out to eat, and that's what they want to drink again. Now, what sense does that make? If you know that something is doing damage to you, if you know that something you're doing the next day makes you feel gross and it's painful, are you going to keep doing it? I slammed my hand in a door one time. It hurt. I don't keep going around slamming my hand in doors. It does me no good. But yet, people in the world, they want to keep going back to this. You know, Satan is a cruel, cruel taskmaster. He is not one. He is not one that I would want to serve. I served him long enough, and I got tired. There's freedom in Christ. There's liberty in Christ. It means something to be set free. I have here a definition of freedom. The power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. That's what the Lord gives us. He says, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. That helps me know how to think. That helps me to know how I'm to carry myself. Does he rule us with an iron fist, tell us we have to do things? He gives us a free will too. Now, we're free to go off and serve that cruel taskmaster, or we're free to follow after him. Yes, and it doesn't leave us, what does sin leave us with? Bitter remorse and woe. But following after Christ, it leaves us with peace. It leaves us with joy and happiness. I found it to be true. I found it so in my life. I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for the freedom that we can have in serving Christ. I thank the Lord for that liberty to not be under that bondage. We can go through and we could see, I think about the young man who was possessed, and it said that his father said he kept throwing himself in the fire. Does that sound like something that a rational person would want to be doing? No. That's what the enemy does. That's what he wants to do to us. Nothing but damage. Nothing but pain. And then when it's all over, when we get to the end of the way and we're judged by the Lord, then you spend all eternity with Satan if you served him. And is that going to be a pleasant? No. It was waiting for there. Fire. A dark place that's without God. That's the reward that he has to offer. But the reward of the Lord. The reward of the Lord is far, far greater. It's not just in the end, though. I don't have to wait till I cross over to take part in that reward. I don't have to wait till I have crossed over to get to enjoy the peace of God. I can enjoy it right here, right now, every day. Somebody at work asked me the other day, they're Catholic and they know I'm a Christian. They said, how do you manage this place that we work in? It's a dark place, full of evil. They say, how do you manage this? Christ. That's my help. He's how I manage everything in the world. It's a wonderful privilege to serve the Lord. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to go to bed at night and not have to pray, Lord, forgive me for my sins today. It's a wonderful privilege to go to bed at night with an assurance as to where I would spend eternity if he called me home right now. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to go to bed at night and be in peace. But that's not what the world has to offer. It likes to make us think that you look at the commercials or the billboards they have, and they have all these nice colors, and maybe it looks like fun, and they'll put the mountains and things in the background because it's appealing to the eye. But we've all heard the saying that everything that glitters isn't gold. Everything that Satan has to offer, it's dust. It's going to fade away. It's not worth it. But there is joy in serving the Lord. Joy in being called one of his. A joy that there's no word that I could think of to describe the joy that I have found in serving him. It's a joy. We have the song, Joy Unspeakable. I can't just put a word on how great it is to serve the Lord. This man found it to be so. He was chained. He was bound. He was mixed in with the enemy and all the things that he had to offer. You know, we have to be careful because we have, I believe it's in 2 Peter, an enemy of our soul who's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if we're not careful, if we're not watchful and prayerful, we will be found in a place having opened up ourselves to the enemy. I thank the Lord. You know, there was a time when I was in high school and I was reading a book that I didn't have full understanding that I shouldn't be reading. And I was telling my grandmother about it, and she told me to go get my Bible. And I read the scripture there in Galatians, the 5th chapter, round about verse, I want to say 19, talks about the works of the flesh. And it mentioned a word there. The word was witchcraft. I didn't think anything of this book. It was a Harry Potter book. And my grandmother gave me a warning, and immediately I did away with the book. But I have known people that have involved themselves in witchcraft. And you see how dark, how dreary, how the evilness that is enwrapped in their lives. The things that they put themselves through, the things they subject themselves through, that's what the enemy wants for us. But Christ, he came to set us free. He died. I think about what he went through when he died on the cross for us. It was a hard place to be in, but he was so willing to lay down his life for us. to give us the freedom that is necessary in life. Many people take it for granted, and many people that choose to try to name the name of Christ, they still take it for granted. But when we realize the sacrifice that Christ gave when he died for us, we won't want to be found anywhere indulging in the things of the enemy. We won't want to be found any place that will be displeasing to Christ. It's a wonderful privilege to serve him. I trust that all here know him. But anything that's binding us in our life, the Lord has freedom for us. Any attitude that we're trying to shake, the Lord has freedom from that. We don't have to give the enemy any leeway to run anything in our life. There's a freedom in Christ that is above all. He's passing by and he's willing to free us. We have to acknowledge him. We have to call out to him. Lord, help me with this. Lord, help me with that. And then when we're freed, then when we are loose from the bondage that the enemy has on us, it will feel like a load is just lifted off. All the burdens, all those things, we could just turn it over into the hands of Jesus and be free. That's what the Lord wants for us. I can testify that he's done that for me. I thank the Lord for his freedom. I thank the Lord for the privilege to serve him. And I intend to serve him for the duration of my life. You all pray for me that I remain faithful.